Hello, welcome to your daily briefing, July the 12th, 2020. Let us pray. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you continue to allow us to continue our study day by day. We're so very grateful for all that you have afforded us, and we thank you for all that you've told us in advance so that we will not be surprised when we see the things that we see around us. We ask, Lord, today that you would fill us with understanding that our hearts might be submitted completely to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Today I'd like to share an article with you that is found in the Independent website, and it was published on July the 7th, 2020. The writer of the article is Richard Hall. That's Richard Hall. And as I said before, the website is the Independent website, published July the 7th, 2020. And the title of the article is, Donald Trump's niece says his re-election would herald end of American democracy in new book. Now, of course, by now I'm sure you've heard about Mary Trump, who's this lady who has a doctorate in analysis of individual personalities. This is the work that she does. She's not just doing this as his niece or as some person who was unhappy with his presidency, but rather it is her profession to do this. And she's written this book and has made quite a big noise. As a matter of fact, the president and those people around him are doing everything they know how to do in order to prevent her from publishing the book. But the book has been in publication and to be released. The article, however, is written by Richard Hall. I'm sure he has received one of the early copies of the book, as I've noticed that there are some people who have already received some of those copies. The same thing with John Bolton's book. And of course, you remember in our last session we were talking about Cohen, the past lawyer of the president who was put in jail and who had been released because of COVID-19. But they saw him sitting in a restaurant and a picture was taken of him by a media, by some newspaper. And so they went back and got him and put him back in jail because they're afraid of the fact that he might come out with a book at some point. I think he's actually said that he's going to do that. But today we're taking a look at this young lady. Well, she's not that young at the moment. Mary Trump. And the article is found in The Independent, published on July the 7th, 2020, written by Richard Hall. And the title, Donald Trump's niece says his re-election would herald end of American democracy. And she says that in a new book. Well, here's the article. Donald Trump's niece warns that the re-election of her uncle would herald the end of American democracy in a new book that explores the president's life and psychological health. Mary Trump, a clinical psychologist and daughter of Mr. Trump's late brother, paints a picture of a man who was so scared, who scarred by his toxic upbringing, that he is today unfit to be president. If he is afforded a second term, it will be the end of American democracy, she writes in the prologue of her book titled Too Much and Never Enough, How My Family Created the World's Most Dangerous Man. Honest work was never demanded of him, and no matter how badly he failed, he was rewarded in ways that are almost unfathomable. He continues to be protected from his own disasters in the White House, Ms. Trump writes. But now the stakes are far higher than they've ever been before. They're literally life and death. Unlike any previous time in his life, Donald's failings cannot be hidden or ignored because they threaten us all. That's what she says in a part of the book. Continuing the article. The publication of the book, due to be released next Wednesday, next week, follows a legal battle between Ms. Trump and her family, who tries to block its release by claiming it violated a 20-year-old non-disclosure agreement signed in a lawsuit settlement over the will of Fred Trump, the president's father and Ms. Trump's grandfather. Incidentally, let me pause to say here, you know, it seems like everything that he's involved in, there's always a non-disclosure agreement. Everybody who works for him, everybody who is employed by him, and now apparently there is also a non-disclosure agreement that has been signed by family members. Now that speaks volumes in and of itself. Continuing the book, it says, continuing the article, it says, the publisher Simon & Schuster describes the book as a revelatory, authoritative portrait of Donald J. Trump and the toxic family that made him. Ms. Trump, who is 55, has a doctoral degree in clinical psychology, uses both her education and experience of growing up around the Trump dynasty to explain the president's behavior today. She details how, in her view, emotional abuse by his father destroyed Mr. Trump and robbed him of the ability to develop and experience the entire spectrum of human emotion. Child abuse is, in some sense, the expectation of too much or not enough. Donald directly experienced the not enough in the loss of connection to his mother at a crucial development stage, which was deeply traumatic, she writes. She adds that his father's failure to make the younger Trump feel safe or loved during this time would scar him for life. The personality traits that resulted, displays of narcissism, bullying, grandiosity, finally made my grandfather take notice, but not in a way that ameliorated any of the horror that had come before. She claims Mr. Trump meets the criteria of antisocial personality disorder, which in its most severe form is generally considered sociopathy. Mary's father, Fred Jr., was President Trump's eldest brother. He died of an alcohol-related illness in 1981. Now that's a brief article. I just read the whole thing for you. And of course that is found in The Independent, published on July the 7th, 2020. The writer of the article is Richard Hall. There's a second article here I'd like to share with you today. It has nothing to do with Mary Trump. But this one is found in the Wire website. The Wire website. And the title of the article is, Will Steve Bannon's Return Accelerate Trump's Deconstruction? Now notice this article was published this year in 2020. And it describes the fact that it seems as if Stephen Bannon is coming back to be very close to Donald Trump again. The title of the article again, Will Stephen Bannon's Return Accelerate Trump's Deconstruction? And the subtext of that title is, the former White House chief strategist returns, signals the intensification of the bare-knuckle method and messaging that may make the 2016 campaign seem mild by comparison. Here's that article. Stephen Bannon, Donald Trump's erstwhile chief strategist, is reportedly returning to rescue the American president from defeat in the November 2020 elections, due largely to mishandling the COVID-19 pandemic and an economy that's heading towards the deepest depression since the 1930s. In early March, Bannon declared the global pandemic Trump's Churchill and FDR moment. Instead, it has turned into a political and economic disaster of historic proportions, as tens of thousands of Americans have lost their lives to the coronavirus. President Trump's tardiness, incompetence, political divisiveness, and rejection of scientific and expert analysis are widely seen as exacerbating the crisis. Bannon, CEO of Trump's 2016 shock election victory, is reportedly close to several senior White House staffers, especially Stephen Miller, and may be recalled to have assisted Trump in digging himself out of a hole largely of his own making. President Trump, contrary to Bannon's prediction, appears to be snatching defeat from the jaws of victory. Nevertheless, Bannon's obsession with China's growing stature and his support for alt-right positions on non-white immigration suggest he's tailor-made for the final months of Trump's 2020 effort to remain in the White House. But the miracle of 2016, when Trump won with a minority of the popular vote, occurred under quite specific conditions which, in the main, do not apply in 2020. Nevertheless, the return of Bannon, unofficial or official, signals the intensification of the bare-knuckle methods and messaging that may make the 2016 campaign seem mild by comparison. The struggle is to shore up Trump's loyal base, to win over a majority of independents, and slice away Democratic voters unhappy with Biden's likely presidential nomination. And Trump and his extreme and alt-right supporters are not particularly concerned with the collateral damage in the process to the American people and system. They are already citing the necessity of bloodshed to nourish the tree of liberty, which we have seen the stirrings of in the heavily armed Liberate Michigan, etc. movements orchestrated by the GOP, its billionaire backers, and the Trump's administration. Now that's serious. They're getting ready for bloodshed. Continuing. The 2019 resurrection of the Committee on the Present Danger, China, is instructive. Bannon is among the leaders of the ultra-hawkish advocacy group. It indicates a renewed desire to contain and pressurize China to foment regime change via delegitimization of the Communist Party. This is in line with official U.S. policy that designates China a strategic rival aiming to displace the United States, from its hegemonic position in East Asia and globally. This whole idea, they say, is funded by billionaire Chinese businessman Miles Kwok, a Bannon ally. CPD sees a target is a Chinese Communist Party's rule, which it claims is oppressing the Chinese people, threatening the liberal norms of the international order and the security and primacy of the West. It is the CPD's fourth incarnation. First formed during the Korean War in 1950, it was thoroughly networked with the most hawkish militarist within and beyond the Truman administration. It helped militarize George Kennan's political containment strategy against alleged Soviet expansionism. And this organization, which was linked with the authors of supporters during that time, inflated the Soviet threat and demanded a massive increase in the U.S. military budget. Written in April 1950, this organization was dismissed as wildly unrealistic by President Harry S. Truman as Congress debated cutting the military budget. With the outbreak of the Korean War in June 1950, however, and its definition of that kind of conflict as the opening shots of a Soviet bid for world dominion, the message was driven home. Its result was the boosting of NATO, the rearmament of the West German forces, and the rise of the military-industrial complex that President Dwight Eisenhower warned Americans about as he left office in 1961. The mid-1970s saw the revival of the CPD, this time against U.S.-Soviet detente, to counter the Soviet threat across the world and reverse the decline of American power in the wake of the defeat of Vietnam and Watergate scandals that brought down President Richard Nixon. Ronald Reagan rode the wave and swept into power, defeating Jimmy Carter in 1980 to make America great again. Again, over 24 members from the CPD were appointed to senior positions in the Reagan administration. George Shultz as Secretary of State and William Casey as CIA Director. The Reagan administration presided over a massive expansion of military power to roll back alleged Soviet expansionism, fueling a second Cold War and bringing the world alarmingly close to a much feared nuclear war. The post 9/11 war on terror inspired the third iteration of the CPD to run a neoconservative led campaign that defined Islamic terrorism or Islamofascism as the equivalent of the communist threat that had to be destroyed. It was backed by Senator Joe Lieberman, James Woolsey, Bill Clinton's CIA director, and Paul Nitz, who had been present at the creation in 1950. This focus on China in the forthcoming of the CPD unifies the Trump administration and key networks that see China as a threat to U.S. and Western power. As Trump's former head of policy planning at the State Department stated, U.S. rivalry with China is particularly intense because it's the first time that we will have a great power competitor that is not Caucasian. It revealed, according to University of Connecticut political scientist Paul Musgrave, the racist and dangerous lens of the new U.S. statecraft. Bannon is a warrior preparing for inevitable global violence. He genuinely believes that a global religio-racial war between the West and the rest is inevitable, and that the West, especially the U.S., has been weakened by liberals' tolerance of diversity, which to his alt-right mind equates to white genocide, and that Muslims, Chinese, and pretty much the entire non-white world are on the march against Judeo-Christian civilization. He thinks that American history specifically is heading towards a so-called fourth turn, with each previous turn ending in massive violence, from the Revolution through the Civil War and World War II. So notice, apparently Bannon is coming back, but this time he's coming back with his thoughts to start some sort of conflict with the rest of the world, any kind of non-white world. Continuing the article, it says this: Bannon is hardcore racist opponent of immigration, nostalgic for a golden age of white male dominance, who has added a few Italian fascist intellectuals' dark skin fantasies to his lexicon. But before World War, there's business closer to home for the Bannon-Trump axis: to liquidate the enemies of the American people in preparation for a battle royale for Western global supremacy. After destroying liberals and Democrats, Bannonites aim to eliminate the Republican Party's leadership and shift the party even closer to the fascist right. The new look GOP will then become a thinly veiled white supremacist organization at the core of which is a corporate military hyper-nationalism, an authoritarian state headed by an imperial presidency. Lord have mercy. Now, I hope that you will read this article for yourself, because we're not going to be able to discuss the whole of it. But just remember, let me just tell you where I'm reading from here. I'm reading from the Wire website. The article was written by Indrajit Parmar, and I'm going to have to spell both of those names for you. His first name is Indrajit, I-N-D-E-R-J-E-E-T. His last name is Parmar, M-A-R-M-A-R. That's P-A-R-M-A-R. And the title of the article is, Will Stephen Bannon's Return Accelerate Trump's Deconstruction? And remember now, when Steve Bannon first came in with Trump, he was talking about the deconstruction of the administrative state. And of course, those who understood him knew that he was attacking the Constitution of the United States. All right, now I want you to understand that this is a very serious article that is being written here, and it is really speaking of some serious times. Let's read some more of the article. Let's see how far we can get. The CPDC, then, is an important step in that strategy, making essential Trump's re-election. The CPDC's network includes the right-wing Washington Times, numerous of the CPDC supporters and members contribute articles and columns to the Nativist newspaper. Its current opinion editor is Charles Hurt, who also contributes to Fox News and Bannon's old perch, Breitbart News. Bannon referred to Breitbart as a platform for the alt-right American racists and fascists. It was the Washington Times that broke the story on January the 26th, 2020, that the coronavirus was either accidentally or deliberately leaked from the Wuhan Institute of Virology in China, based on an interview with a former Israeli intelligence officer. No evidence was provided to support the allegations, but the message was picked up and amplified by Steve Bannon's podcast program, War Room, and subsequently moved all the way up to the Trump administration. Trump has previously heaped praise on President Xi's Jinping for his handling of the COVID-19 crisis. Bannon is also close to Mark Meadows, who replaced Mike Mulvaney as White House Chief of Staff at the end of March 2020, and he's very close to Stephen Miller, who is the quiet architect of President Trump's immigration policies, Muslim travel bans, and coherent legitimizer of Trump's broadly white nationalist or white supremacist America First views. Now, of course, we're going to stop there for today, but I'm going to have to take another look at this article for you in our next session, because you need to understand what it is that this man has in mind. And it would be really interesting to make sure that we have a grasp of what this man is saying here. Will Steve Bannon's return accelerate Trump's deconstruction? Regardless of how they do it, you and I have been warned of the trouble to come. We've been warned that the United States of America will cease to be a lamb-like beast and begin to speak like a dragon. And you and I need to understand that that dragon speech will not only be external, but it will also be internal. Today God is calling you to get yourself ready for the time to come. And as we continue to take a look at the things that are happening around us and the things that are going to happen in the future, I pray God on your behalf today that you will surrender your life completely to Him and allow Him to give you the strength and the power that you need so desperately that you might stand with Him. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for all that you continue to do for us that we cannot and certainly could not do for ourselves. We ask, Lord, that you would give us the strength that is necessary. Give us the strength. Give us the endurance. Give us the faith so that we might stand with you and for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This has been your daily briefing, July the 12th, 2020.